In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Immaculate Queen, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends in Christ, oftentimes when we look at the life of our Lord, we see how he went apart from the world to pray. And on, many occasions he took his apostles with him apart. And it's a good example for us that during the year, it's good that we make a retreat, even if it's only for a few hours, just to step back and really take a look at our lives and ask ourselves, where are we at? How are we doing spiritually? Are we on the right track to heaven? Do I need to make some changes in my life? And that's kind of what we should do is, during this morning retreat, really take a moment to step back from our lives, try to put away any of the distractions here this morning, try to kind of arrange things so that way you don't have to be checking your phone or, dealing with any other issues. Oftentimes, as mothers, you have many pressing concerns and issues, but it's very important that if we're going to be able to make a good and holy retreat, that we kind of just put those things away, put those things aside here for a few hours, unless, of course, there's an absolute emergency or something of that nature. So that's where the devil certainly wants to drag you down. He wants to distract you during a time of retreat. He wants to take your attention off of yourself and sanctifying your soul. So keep that in mind, that don't be surprised to receive phone calls and text messages and this and that, thoughts to try to distract you. But like I said, I would do your very best, unless it's an absolute necessity or an emergency, just to try to put that away or to offer that up during the time of retreat. But I have to tell you about my first retreat I had went on some years ago. This was when I was not in the seminary yet, a year or so before the seminary. I went on my first retreat, and that was out in New York, and I was excited. It was a young men's retreat, and I had, did some preparation beforehand, had some good books to read, some good things I was going to look into. And when I arrived there that evening, we were sitting down for dinner right before the retreat was going to start, and the priest who was running the retreat, he had said, okay, so now that everything's taken care of, we've had dinner, so the retreat is now going to start tonight, tomorrow, and into Sunday or Monday, I can't remember now. And then the priest had said, and remember, it's a silent retreat. And I'm like, what? Silent retreat? Like, what's that mean? He's like, and I didn't say anything, but that meant no talking for 2.5 days or a day and a half. And I'm like, how am I going to do that? I'm like, no talking? I didn't sign up for that. I didn't even say that in the bulletin thing about it. But that's something to keep in mind is, certainly when we talk, we're not listening. And when we're talking, we're not listening to Almighty God. So during the retreat, even for the 3 hours here this morning, let us do our very best to pray, do some spiritual reading, but most importantly, let us listen to Almighty God. Listen to Almighty God and do our very best to make a good and holy retreat. And what I'd like to just talk about briefly here this morning is in regards to making a good assessment of our own lives. How do we, or how should we, or what's one way that we can look at our own lives and consider, how are we doing? Are we on the right track? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, or do we need to make some changes somewhere else? And the one aspect that I want to focus on is our daily duties. Each and every one of us have daily duties. We have things that we need to take care of every day. And Almighty God has told us that it is through our daily duties, in performing those well, and for the love of Almighty God, that we are going to become the saints that God wants us to become. Our daily duty is the greatest sacrifice that comes to us every day. Our daily duty is the greatest sacrifice because it is something that we do not necessarily choose for ourselves to bear. In our daily duty, whether it be with your husbands or with your children, there are things that you must do, and there are things that you must do that you might not enjoy doing. or that are maybe an annoyance or really difficult, that is the sacrifice of our daily duty. And those sacrifices oftentimes are very little. But when you offer up those sacrifices day in and day out, week after week, month, year after year, you do those things every day. Certainly those are sacrifices. Little sacrifices add up, and they call down many big graces from Almighty God for you and your family. So when it comes to making a good assessment of our lives, I want to just first to kind of step back and consider, you know, what is the state of my soul? And we should pray, Lord, that I may know myself. Dear Jesus and Mary, grant me the grace to know myself as you see me. Oftentimes we deceive ourselves. Oftentimes we think things of ourselves or our own condition that are not true. And the reason for that is because we have a fallen human nature. Our fallen human nature wants us to think highly of ourselves, wants us to think that we are all great and fine and we don't have anything to work on. But that is not true. Each and every one of us has things to work on in our spiritual life. How do we know that? We know that each and every one of us, whether we're younger or older, we can all grow more in the spiritual life, because in this life, we can always grow more in the love of Almighty God. And that's the bottom line, is that it doesn't matter at what point you are in life, we can all grow more in the love of Almighty God. There's no limit in this life to how much we can love Almighty God. But the important part to keep in mind is that it's going to be through our prayers, through our sacrifices, and through our efforts that we grow in that love of Almighty God. So first and foremost, I wanted to talk about our duties to Almighty God. These are duties that we've had all through life. These are duties that we've had even before getting married. And our Lord tells us very simply, he says, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. That should be our starting point, is we should make a good examination of our conscience based on the Ten Commandments. We should go through them. There are confession guides that ask questions regarding each of the commandments. And it's a good thing during a retreat to grab one of those confession guides if you haven't done so in a while. And just go through them. It helps to remind us, okay, you know, these are the aspects of the first commandment, these are the aspects of the second, and so on and so forth. For we know that the first three commandments are in regards towards God, and the next seven are in regards to our neighbor. But in making a good examination of conscience, we can certainly consider, what areas do I need to work on? What areas am I in need of the most efforts? For it's important that, you know, as our Lord has told us, if you love me, keep the commandments. So that's our first and foremost starting point. Let's make it a point during a retreat for some time to make a good examination of conscience. Oftentimes, or it happens where when you make your examination of conscience, it's when you're driving to church and the kids might be screaming or they might be talking and there might be distractions. So, you know, we do the best we can with what we have, but during the retreat, you know, we have a longer period of time where we can really kind of reflect. So what I would recommend doing is praying a prayer first for our Blessed Mother and asking the Holy Ghost to enlighten you and to guide you to understand and to know yourself better, especially when it comes to keeping the commandments. And we should also consider the commandments of the church as well. We know that we've been given the commandments by the church, and Almighty God expects us to keep those as well. So those are a really good starting point when it comes to fulfilling our duties to Almighty God, or at least assessing, how am I doing in regards to my duties towards Almighty God and towards my neighbor? And if you find something, or you come across something in your personal spiritual life that needs attention, my one recommendation would be to consider the opposite virtue. If, for example, you find that in your spiritual life you struggle with anger, consider, okay, how can I work on that particular fault or that particular vice of anger? I need to practice patience. All right, so I understand that patience is the virtue I really need to work on in order to address that fault. But not only that's the virtue I need to work on, how do I work on it? What's a good plan? What can I do? What are some simple things I can do every day to work on practicing that virtue? And write them down. I would strongly recommend writing them down, because oftentimes we forget. It could be tomorrow afternoon and you'd be thinking, I don't remember anything from yesterday morning. But if you look at what you wrote down, it'll be a reminder. Okay, yeah, I was going to work on patience, and I was going to work on doing these things to practice it. It's a good reminder, because even at, you know, from a retreat, we want it to not only benefit your spiritual life tomorrow, but next week, next month, next year. We want the benefits, the fruits of a good retreat to last all through the year, to help you to become saints more every single day. So we have the Ten Commandments, the commandments of the Church, but then we also have the seven capital sins as well. So we should consider those and look at, you know, the capital sins and ask ourselves, are there any of those which we struggle with the most? And if you are uncertain or not, do not know what is the opposite virtue that you can work on in order to help you to overcome that particular fault or failing, you can always just ask. You can ask me, and then I'll help you and direct you or guide you in regards to some different things. But let's make it a point to make some resolutions, especially when it comes to our duty to Almighty God. The next thing I want to consider or bring up is our duty towards your husbands. There was the writing by St. Paul. It says, let women be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so also let the wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church, and delivered himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, cleansing it by the labor of water in the word of life, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So also ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife as himself, and let the wife fear her husband. So when it comes to our duties towards our husbands or towards your husbands, it's important that we reflect upon those as well this morning. Because if we are fulfilling our duties towards your spouses, what's going to happen is it's going to help in bringing peace and harmony and love in the home. We cannot control necessarily the actions of another, but we certainly can control our own actions. And we should ask ourselves, am I fulfilling my duties towards my husband? Am I doing what I'm supposed to? Or are there some areas where I need to work on? Some areas where I need to make some resolutions to improve things? Let's make it a point to consider that and to reflect upon that in the same manner how we reflected upon our duties towards Almighty God. There's one area that I especially want to focus on when it comes towards the relationship between spouses, and that is the aspect of love, the aspect of that union of charity between husband and wife. In our day and age, and in the difficulties that face us, it can happen where love grows cold between spouses. It can happen where a spouse will say, I don't feel much love anymore in my relationship, or I feel like that love that was originally there is now gone or is dead. Well, there's a really good book out there, and the book is called The Five Languages of Love by Gary Chapman, or Chapman. So Gary Chapman, or however you say his last name, he is a therapist who especially focuses, when I say therapist, maybe I don't remember his exact title, but he's a marriage counselor, and he's done many seminars and many talks in regards to helping husband and wife to kind of rekindle that love, that true love, in that, you know, the relationship. And there are five things, or five languages of love that he talks about. What are these five languages of love? He talks about how husbands and wives, they show love in different manners, and they feel loved in different ways as well. For one individual, They might show their love by words of affirmation. They might show their love by telling their appreciation for all of what their husband does. But for another person, they might show their love by spending quality time with each other, by having that quality time just sitting down and talking or spending time doing something together. Definitely something maybe different than TV. Sitting down and watching TV together is not really quality time. That's time where the brain turns off and you're just focusing on whatever the TV wants you to think about. The quality time, that time of actually doing things together. For others, it might be acts of service. What are these acts of service? I have an example. It's a lady who is in the nursing home down in Omaha. She has been in the nursing home for maybe 13 or 14 years now, and her husband passed away sometime before that. And she told me that when she was married, her husband would buy her one rose every week. So every week during their entire marriage, it was maybe 15 years or so, I don't remember, he had bought her one rose every week to show her that he loved her. And she really appreciated that. That really showed her how much he loved her. But of course, you know, that was his way of showing her his great love for her as well. And, you know, that would be a different way, of course, of showing love for one another. But whether it comes to words of affirmation, quality time, you know, doing some act of service for your spouse, or even giving those gifts like that rose, you know, those are all ways of showing love with your spouse. And another way is also physical contact. That physical contact, you know, might be that hug or that embrace before, you know, your husband leaves for work, or the holding of hands, or whatever it might be. For each and every one of us, we have different ways that we show that we love somebody, and we have different ways that we feel loved by another. So for you, you might feel loved most when you spend quality time with your husband. Or you might feel loved most when your husband gives you those gifts, like flowers. Or you might feel loved most just by that embrace or that hug before he leaves for work. Whatever it might be. What's important is that you learn, they call it the love language of your spouse. It's very important that you learn, what ways does my spouse feel loved the most? And those are the things that I have to do for him. I should write some things down. Knowing that he especially likes quality time with me, it's quality time that he loves the most, that I'm going to write these things down. These are the things I'm going to try to work on. I'm going to try and spend time with him, you know, in this area, that area, or whatever it might be. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go fishing with him or whatever it is he likes to do, but, I mean, just that quality time. What does he enjoy? But try to figure out what is that love language of your husband that he really feels loved the most? And try your best to work on doing some things for him, little things. We don't have to do extraordinary or really big things. It's just those little things. But so too, think for yourself. What is my love language? What does my husband do that makes me feel loved the most? And do your best to communicate those things with your husband. Communicate to him that, you know, these things are ways that he can really show you that he loves you. And that helps to strengthen the love. It helps to strengthen that bond in your relationship. And this, the Gary Chapman, who wrote the book called The Five Languages of Love, he had said that oftentimes when he comes across a marriage situation where the husband and wife are at odds with each other, or that love has grown cold, he says that, in a sense, the love tank is on E, or empty. That tank or that amount of how much you feel loved inside is empty, and that you need to start working on filling that up again. And how do you work on filling that up? Is first and foremost to consider, what does my husband truly enjoy? What things does he enjoy? What can I do to show him that I love him, that he truly appreciates? And what things do I like, or what things can he do for me to show me that he loves me? So what certainly, like I said, we can't control the actions of another, but we certainly can control our own actions. We can certainly control what we do. So let's keep that in mind moving forward, is how can we grow, how can we increase that union between you and your spouse? How can we increase that charity or that love between each other? And I want to just mention one thing in regards to your duties towards your husbands, that as Pope Pius XI has said, wives should not be husbands' personal slaves. So just keeping that in mind, the wife in no manner should be the husband's personal slave. So the husband should consider the personal dignity of his wife, and he should give her honor. Just as Christ is the head of the church, husbands are the head of the home, but the mother, you, are the heart of the home. So just like Christ is the head of the church, your husbands are the head of the home, but you are the heart of the home. And it's very important that the head and the heart work in union, that they work together. So the last thing I want to talk about real briefly is in regards to your duties towards your children. We cannot forget the children because, of course, we know that is the purpose, the primary end of matrimony is the raising of children and helping your children become saints. And there are many duties that we could talk about when it comes towards helping your children become saints. But just in general, we know that you have to care for both their body and their soul. And it's very important that you do your very best to start off well. When it comes to your children, when they're young yet, I strongly encourage you to do everything you can to help them to get on the right path. Teach them their prayers. Teach them how to practice virtue. Correct them when they do things that they're not supposed to do. When you do your very best when they're young, it's just like you're trying to train small horses or ponies. When they're young, they're easy to control. They're easy to help guide and instruct. But if we fail by our own fault to instruct them while they're young, when they grow up, they're going to be like stallions. And you try, or mustangs, or whatever you want to call it, horses, try to control a mustang or a stallion or whatnot, and it's very difficult. So too, when our children grow older, if they have not developed a love for Almighty God, if they have not developed a fear of offending Almighty God, if they have not learned to keep their focus on heaven, it's going to be very hard to guide and to direct them. We have the world around us that is working against our children. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all striving to bring our children down, and they're doing a very good job of that. We know that, especially with the cell phones today. Cell phones are the downfall of many. And after this world, we're going to know that through the instrument of the cell phone, how many souls were actually lost, how many souls have been sent to hell because of the sins that have been committed through the cell phone. So when it comes to protecting your children, I strongly encourage you to do your best, especially when they're young. If you still have that opportunity to do that, try your best to help guide them and direct them. And that is in general, but I want to give some more specific advice. What's some more practical advice when it comes to your children? Most of us now have internet in our homes. Most of us have means of connecting to the internet, whether it's through the TV or a cell phone or a laptop or a computer. What I recommend doing is if you have a computer or you have some phone for your children or whatever it might be, put a security system on there. When it comes to your phone, there are many security systems that are out there that you can, parental programs. There are parental programs, one of them is called Bark, another one's called Norton Family Center. There are other ones out there like MM Guardian. Those are all examples of programs you can put on their phones if they're at that age when that's fine to do that. You know, put those programs on their phone. I would say, just as my personal opinion, when they first get a phone, until they leave home, I would still have that parental program on there. Because those parental programs, they block things that they shouldn't be looking at, but then they also watch what they're saying to their friends. Because it has happened, and it's not uncommon for children to talk to older individuals, whether it's boys or girls, and they get involved in things that are very dangerous for them spiritually and bodily and temporally. So we want to make sure that we have a good guard, especially over their phones. But even when it comes to the internet, if you have a computer at home, I would recommend find a good program that you can put on that computer that blocks things that they shouldn't be looking at. It's very important that we take that seriously, because it only takes, you know, one mistake for them to see something or to hear something, and the devil can use that against them in the future to tempt them and to lead them into a habit that might affect them for the rest of their lives. So we need to take that very seriously, especially when it comes to what they watch on TV or what they're searching on the internet or who they're talking with on their phones. And we should consider that. What can I do? Like I said, there are a few recommendations, but you know, those things take time and effort. You know, they're not necessarily free, but they're certainly worth the protection of your children and helping them stay on the right track. Another example, another practical piece I want to talk about is their friends. For our children today, it's really difficult for them because of the fact that it's hard to have friends. It's hard to have friends because it depends on who you live by or where you're at. There might not be good Catholic friends around for your children, but let's make it a point to try to meet up with family, to go that extra mile, to give them an opportunity to play or to spend time with those who are good friends. Because if our children get involved with the bad group, they will easily be led astray. It's very unfortunate. I can speak of a case in general I've seen where there was, you know, a family, and the family had one particular bad friend, and that bad friend influenced the children, and then the children slowly fell away from the church, one after another. They had been good Catholics all of their life until that bad friend came into the picture, and then we're talking, you know, their children, a big family. One by one, they fell away from the faith, and it's very tragic to see that happening, how bad friends can certainly drag down our children. But on the other side, on a positive note, good friends can help sanctify your children. You know, good friends and good environments can help them to certainly become saints. We got to keep that in mind as well, as there is the danger. Of course, we need to be on our guard for that. But then there are, you know, the other side, the positive side, is that let's look for good outlets for our children to make good friends, especially when they're younger. We know how our friendships that are based on Christ are the friendships that will last. So if your children make good friendships with other children who are striving to become saints, who are striving to get to heaven, that's going to be a friendship that's going to last for life. Just keeping that in mind. There are other areas, you know, that we should consider, and that is music. You know, if your children like music, there's a lot of garbage out there. And all you have to do is turn on the radio for a half hour, 20 minutes, and you find that there's a lot of garbage out there. So try to help your children develop a good taste for music, a good taste for good music, that is moral music. Because if you do not help your children to develop a good taste for that quality music, when they get out into the world, they're going to experience garbage. And I hope they don't have an attraction towards that. Because the music in the world that's garbage is very alluring. Just like the phones, their phones have been designed in order to suck them in. Their phones have been designed in order to grasp their attention and keep their attention. That's what the designers had in mind. The designers, when they made the phone, they want to make it in such a manner that it absorbs your attention, it draws you in, and almost makes it hard to pull yourself away from it. So too with music, so we have to be careful in that regards. And the last example I want to give in regards to your children and the duties towards your children or for your children is consider a garden, especially as it's getting nice outside now. We're probably getting, you know, starting to plan our garden out for the summertime and what we're going to plant and how we're going to do things. But when it comes to a garden, I grew up gardening. We had a big garden. We had a lot of different, you know, vegetables and whatnot in the garden. So there's a lot of work that comes and goes into raising and bringing a garden up. You know, for the garden, you have to prepare the soil, you have to plant, you have to water, you have to weed. And oftentimes it takes a lot of patience. I remember one time being gone for a trip for 2 weeks, and I come back to the garden at home, and I looked at the garden, and I was like, where's the garden? I mean, it's like just all weeds now. But seeing all those weeds, I didn't become discouraged. I just start to work one row at a time. I'm going to work on this row, going to take care of this row. Okay, then go to the next row. So too with our children. If we see many weeds in their life, let's not become discouraged. Let's start and focus on that which needs the most attention first. Let's focus on those things which are going to be most important to helping them get to heaven, first and foremost. And have patience. Just like when, you know, we're weeding the garden, we know that it's a lot of work. It takes time, especially if it's gotten out of hand. But have patience. Don't become frustrated. Just like when we weed the garden, oftentimes, or most times, if there's a lot of work to be done in the garden, we usually don't get mad at the vegetables. We usually don't get mad at the produce in the garden. You know, we understand that there's a lot of work for us to do, and I'm going to get going and going to work on it. Don't become frustrated if there's a lot of work that needs to be done with your children. Just have patience and work on one thing at a time. But in regards to protecting them from the dangers in the world today, I think that's a very high priority. Of course, we know we have other duties. You know, first and foremost, we have the spiritual side of things. We want to make sure that our children are raised as good Catholics, that they have a love and fear of our Lord. So let's make sure that, of course, we take care of both their body and their soul. And the last thing I want to mention here for this short talk this morning is what I started with, and that is Almighty God desires that we become saints. And we're given this short time here this morning to step away from the world. We're given this short time to reflect and to think, what aspects do I need to work on in my own spiritual life in order to become the saint that God wants me to become? There's a saying that goes, you cannot give what you do not have. There's a saying that says, you cannot give what you do not have. So if you are going to help your family become saints, you yourself must strive to become a saint. You're not going to help somebody else become a saint unless you yourself are striving to do the same, because we cannot give what we do not have. The last thing is, how can we especially work on becoming saints? Your daily duty. Through our daily duty, we can all become the saints that God wants us to become. He's not asking us to do anything extraordinary. He's not asking us to work miracles, you know, to float or to do the impossible. He wants us to do our daily duty, but do our daily duty well, and to do it for the love of Almighty God. Consider this what our Lord had said to Sister Lucia, one of the three children of Fatima. Our Lord said, the sacrifice required for every person is the fulfillment of his duties in life in the observance of my law. As he said, the penance, this is the penance I now seek and require. That is, the fulfillment of your duties in life in the observance of God's laws. So what I recommend doing here with the time we have this morning, we're going to have the Stations of the Cross at 10:30, but between now and 10:30, it's a good time to reflect, write down some resolutions. But then at 11 o'clock, we're going to have the Holy Hour with benediction. And during the Holy Hour, I'll hear confessions. So if there's, you know, if you want to go to confession or you even have any questions, you can always come back and just ask. But try to use that silent time to pray and to reflect. To use that time to step aside from the world and be with our Lord. Try to, like I said, not talk so much, but do a good job of trying to listen. So let's strive, especially to use this time this morning to listen and do our very best to grow in that love of Almighty God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.